You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
On April 15th, Tax Day, the mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani, pulled out his phone and he walked to 2020 Central Park South. He stood outside the most expensive home ever sold in the United States, looked up at the building, and turned on the camera on himself. He said,
"When I ran for mayor, I said I was going to tax the rich. Well, today, we're taxing the rich."
He then pointed up to the building behind him and called the owner out by name. On camera, that owner was billionaire Ken Griffin, founder of Citadel, one of the largest hedge funds in the world. A man who employs thousands of New Yorkers and was about to break ground on a $6 billion redevelopment on Park Avenue. 6,000 construction jobs, 15,000 permanent jobs. Griffin watched the video 3 times. He called it creepy, frightening. Within 48 hours, Citadel's COO sent a memo signaling the entire $6 billion project might not be moving forward. The next week, Citadel announced they would expand their Miami office instead. This isn't a story about Ken Griffin. This isn't a story about taxes. This isn't a story about the left or the right. This is a story about what happens when policy starts pushing capital out the door faster than any state can replace it. And what's happening right now in New York, in California, in Illinois is the largest peacetime wealth migration in modern American history. If you're a first generation wealth builder, you're standing in the middle of all of this.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank account to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself, but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast.
My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to nearly $500 million in assets, returned $45+ million to our investors, and have helped families save over $100 million plus in taxes. I've been studying this migration for 3 years, and there is 3 questions almost nobody is asking out loud. 1, why is this happening now? 2, is this permanent or will it reverse? 3, where am I in it? And what does it cost me if I don't move? The data answers the first one. Physics answers the second. And biology, the third. Let me show you. Every fall in the Pacific Northwest, something extraordinary happens. Millions of salmon leave the ocean at exactly the same time. They turn upstream against the current and they swim until they die. Here's the part most people don't know. No salmon decides to do this. 3 signals have to align. Water temperature drops to a specific threshold. Days gets short enough and the chemical scent of their birth river reaches out to them in the open ocean. When all 3 signals fire at once, the entire generation moves. Not some of them, not the smart ones, all of them. In nature, migration doesn't happen because someone decides. It happens because the conditions for staying have ended. For 60 years, capital had 3 reasons to stay where it was. Reason 1, geography. Your company was in Chicago. You live near Chicago. Reason 2, generation. The boomers who built the wealth were still alive and holding it. Reason 3, asset class. 60% stocks, 40% bonds, a house, a pension. All three of those reasons just stop being reasons. Remote work and mobile capital severed the link between where you work and where you live. $124 trillion is transferring from boomers and the silent generation to their heirs between now and 2048. And Bank of America's 2024 private bank study found that wealthy investors under 43 are leaving the 60-40 model, moving to a private equity, private debt, direct ownership, and real estate syndications. Three signals all firing at the same time. This is why the IRS migration data looks the way it does. In one recent year, Texas added 56,400 new tax filers. Florida added 55,300. But the state with the biggest story isn't Texas, isn't Florida. It's South Carolina. 59,000 new residents in 12 months. More than 1% of the entire state's population in a single year. One out of every 100% walking down the street in Charleston just got there. Here's where most people get this wrong. They look at the IRS map and they say, people are moving because of taxes, or people are moving because of politics. No, people are moving because the signal to stay have ended. And once the signals end, no individual can stop the run. But that raises the harder question, the one the skeptics keep throwing back at me. If the salmon returns to the ocean, why won't the capital? I want to teach you a word that you will never unsee once you know it. It's called hysteresis. In physics, hysteresis is what happens when a system doesn't return to its starting state, even after the force that moved it is removed. Take, for example, a paperclip. Bend it a little, and it springs back. Bend it past its threshold, and the bend stays forever. The metal isn't the same anymore. The internal structure has been bent, permanently deformed. That's exactly what happens to the United States economy. And the place to see hysteresis most clearly is to look at what happens to the state being left behind. Most people assume New York losing a few hedge funds is a celebrity story. It isn't. The financial sector accounts for 16% of New York State's entire GDP. That is $327 billion added to their economy every single year. But that number alone understates what is actually happening, because every finance job in New York doesn't just employ that one person. The employment multiplier in New York finance is 3.66. It means for every single finance job in New York, another 2.66 jobs exist because of it. The executive assistant, the IT specialist fixing the servers, the high-end caterer, the dry cleaner on the corner, the construction workers building out the office, the restaurant where they take clients, the cleaning crew that comes in at 9 p.m. That is not a banker problem. That is the entire downstream ecosystem of a high-income city. And the average New York finance salary is $309,000. You only need a handful of those professionals to fund an entire school district. So when those jobs leave, it punches a devastating, disproportionate hole in the state's tax base. In the last 3 years alone, 56 finance firms managing $993 billion in assets have pulled out of New York and have moved to Florida. That is nearly $1 trillion of managed wealth, packing up its servers, its executives, and its tax revenue, and driving down I-95. But scale that out across the country. Roughly $2 trillion in adjusted gross income has moved from blue states to red states between 2012 to 2023. That is larger than the GDP of most countries on Earth. This is what hysteresis looks like in real time. It's not a story about taxes. It's the permanent deformation of an entire economic ecosystem. When one finance job leaves Manhattan, 2.66 jobs goes with it. And most of those 2.66 jobs will never work at that income level again. That is what we mean when we say the metal has bent past spring back. And here is the second half of hysteresis. The metal doesn't just bend. It bends in a specific direction. Texas isn't putting up billboards saying, come here, it's cheaper. Texas instead is writing its entire legal system to custom fit the needs of major corporations. In June 2025, Texas signed legislation creating specialized business courts. Yes, specialized business courts, and lowered the threshold to access them from $10 million down to $5 million. Think about how a normal court operates. A regular court judge might handle a messy divorce on Monday, a traffic violation on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, they're asking to rule on an $8 billion biotech patent dispute. They don't have the background. The case gets bogged down, and that means uncertainty. If there's one thing a CEO hates more than taxes, it's uncertainty. So Texas built a fast-track, highly predictable legal environment covering intellectual property, software, biotech, and the complex commercial arbitrations. That is exactly why Charles Schwab moved its $10 trillion assets under management operation out of San Francisco to Westlake, Texas. 70-acre campus, 7,000 employees. Not a relocation, a transplant. And the part that proves historicity isn't a theory is what these companies are doing in their new communities. North Texas Giving Day 2025. Schwab was a major sponsor, over $100,000 in direct grants, 2-to-1 employee match. That single event generated $74.2 million for local nonprofits. But it isn't just a corporate checkbook. There's a Schwab employee named Shar who used her company paid volunteer time to serve as a court-appointed special advocate for 3 siblings in the foster care system. There's Melissa Navarrete, who secured $20,000 in Schwab Foundation grant for Casa of Tarrant County alone. That's not the action of tenants. That is a founding species, and founding species don't leave. I want to step out from behind the data for a moment. Nancy and I are not studying this migration from the outside. We're operating inside it. A substantial portion of our portfolio has been concentrated in the Texas market, deliberately, for years now. When you own multifamily real estate in Dallas-Fort Worth, when you see the lease applications come in, when you see where the new renters are coming from and what they're willing to pay, you don't need an IRS report to tell you the migration is real. You feel it at the unit level. We study this obsessively, not because it's interesting, because the only way to not be the generation that paid for this migration is to position inside of it, because the math becomes obvious to everyone else. By the time CNBC is writing headlines about Schwab, the early positioning is already over. The Kitty sisters refuse to be the footnote in someone else's wealth story. And if you're watching this, I refuse to let it be yours either. Now, I've heard every skeptic on this. Citadel still has 576 investment staff in New York and only 47 in Miami. True, today. New York's millionaire count doubled from 33,000 to 67,000 in a decade. True. California is still the fourth largest economy on earth. Also true. But every one of those facts misses what historicity means. The migration isn't stay or leave. It is a gradient. When Citadel adds 400 jobs in Miami while keeping Park Avenue, that's the migration. When Schwab keeps the California office while building 7,000 jobs in Westlake, that's the migration. When New York's millionaire count doubles, but Austin's growth is by 110%, that's the migration. The center of gravity is moving. The denominator is shifting. And the metal has already bent. So tell me in the comment. Where do you live right now? And is the wealth you're building or built on metal that has already been bent or metal that is still under pressure? Once you see the hysteresis, you stop asking the wrong question. You stop asking, will this reverse? You start asking, what does this demand of me? And the answer to that doesn't come from physics. It comes from something that beats its wings 12 times a second and travels 3,000 miles. You see, every fall, the monarch butterflies begin one of the most extraordinary journey in nature. From southern Canada, 13,000 miles south, to a single mountain range in central Mexico. Here's the part almost no one knows. The migration takes 4 generations. The monarchs that begin in Canada die in the United States. The next generation is born, continues south, and dies in northern Mexico. The 3rd generation continues, and only the 4th generation arrives at the destination. The one who started never see where they're going. But here's what makes the migration work. Every generation has to do one thing correctly. They have to lay their eggs on the right plant. Only milkweed will sustain monarch caterpillars. If any generation lays eggs on the wrong plant or no plant at all, the entire 3,000-mile migration dies at that point. It doesn't matter how far the previous generations flew. It doesn't matter what the destination was. If one generation breaks the chain is broken. If you're watching this, you are almost certainly a first generation wealth builder, a doctor, an engineer, a founder, an operator, someone who built it, earned it, didn't inherit it. I need you to hear me. You are not the generation that completes this migration. You are the first generation in your family that even sees the migration exists. And your only job is to make sure you are not the generation that breaks the chain. That looks like one very specific thing. It looks like converting earned income into own income before the trigger of your career ends. Because earned income is the ocean, own income is the river. And every salmon that doesn't make it upstream in time dies in the ocean it came from. The first generation that converts earned income to own income wins this migration. The rest just paid for it. I want to tell you something I think a lot about. Most of the people watching this are going to do nothing. They'll watch this video, they'll nod, and they'll close the tab. They will keep their income earned. They will keep their wealth in the same accounts their parents use. They will keep watching the U-Haul pass them on the highway or the freeway and think, interesting. What an interesting trend. And then one morning in 2035, they will wake up and they will wonder why the people who started where they started ended up somewhere completely different. It will not be because those people are smarter. It will not be because those people are luckier. It will be because those people understood what the salmon understood, what a meadow understood, what the monarch butterflies understood. That when the signals align, the only question left is whether you move with them or watch them pass you. Three questions I asked at the start. Why now? Three signals, all firing at the same time. Why permanent? The meadow has been bent past the point of return. What does it demand? That you are not the generation that breaks the chain. If you want to know exactly where your wealth quietly fractures inside this migration, we built a free assessment. It's called Where Wealth Breaks. It's free, it takes under 3 minutes, and it maps the five dimensions where first generation wealth breaks. Before you know what's happening, the link is in the description. For everyone else, welcome to the migration. Next time you see a U-Haul, remember, you're not looking at someone moving. You're looking at a new American economy in motion.
Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.